walking with the Lord. And I was trimming those plum trees yesterday, and I mean, that used to be hard for me. Teresa would just leave me out there. I would make her so mad, you know, because my plums are very precious to me, just mainly my plums, you know. These plum trees have been around for over 50 years. My daddy's been dead 30-something years, and these trees, these plums, I don't know what they are. It says they was apricots, but they've been around, and I've got me an orchard of them, dearie. You know, and I really enjoy those plums. I have all of my life. I mean all of my life. And I'm fixing to put some more out over yonder and let it just take over there when I get time over at the other land. But anyways, every year me and Teresa would have conflict. I mean, she would make me angry because I'm having to cut off. And I told her one time, I said, every flower that you cut off of that tree is a plum. It really is. And so she would, well, it's bare better fruit. And I'm thinking, yeah, because you don't care about them plums, you know, my, my, my. Well, I was out there yesterday, and the Lord, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, now you help me, Lord. I don't really like it when you're pruning me. I don't like it when you're dealing with me to love my enemy. I don't really like it, you know, when I have a problem. I don't really like it, Lord, when I'm wrong and you point it out to me and I have to admit it. I don't really like it, Lord, when I have to tell people I'm sorry and I have to humble myself. But see, a humble heart will have a hearing ear. A hearing ear will get revelation that everybody else is not getting. And that revelation will set that person to a higher place in the Lord, whoever that is. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, now help me, help me. He said, I want you to cut them back quick. He said, don't think. He said, don't think. He said, just do it. Johnny. I mean, I'm out there and they're all white and blooming. I mean, and they're done. I'm like, whoo. I mean, I can see tons of. And so I thought, okay, man, I'm not going to think, Lord. That's what me and you don't need to be doing is overthink things. When God's dealing with us about things, I mean, there's millions today that God can't work in their life because they won't go to church. They're wanting God to heal them. They're wanting God to meet their finances. They're wanting to feel good. They're wanting, and God has dealt with them year after year after year just to go to church. You know? And they want, they're rebelling. Rebelling against the Lord. People don't do it really on purpose. Well, I don't feel good. I got hurt in church. Well, good. You are still holding back the hand of God in your life. I put it on the internet this morning. God's dealing with many to go to church, and God is dealing with many to go back to church. And I put on there, I said, it's kind of like a Christian without church. It's kind of like a garden. You plant a garden, and you don't tend it, and you don't fertilize it, you know, and you expect that garden to be healthy. Well, church is like that in our life, you know, after we're born again. And not just coming to church. Coming to church and hearing the word. And if I realize I've got pride, kill it. Get rid of it. If I realize that I'm watching myself not to uncover people. I mean, a lot of things just took place in the last 2 years and people's lives in this church and other lives, and I've made it a purpose to mind my own business. Why? Love covers. So wherever your area is, every one of us has areas. These things, and Monty brought them out our words, you know, but things can hinder our walk with the Lord. Or things can enhance our walk with the Lord. You know? And so I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to cut them back. Because when I cut them, I know in my mind That when I, the more that I cut back and cut them off, the bigger and better the fruit that is on there, and the healthier that tree is going to be able to be. Because, and I got to notice it, and I was thinking, oh man, that right there grew last year in there. And it, they suckers in there. They're called suckers. Well, last year, I just really got into, you know, making sure there's no suckers on my tomatoes. I really enjoy tomatoes. I mean, I plant 100-something tomato plants every year. And I manicure those babies, and I watch them, and I don't let them bend over. I had them 7 foot tall probably last year, man. You know, and I don't get my garden ready. But you know, I look at these natural things, and that's the way things are in the spiritual. You know, so I says, hey, man, that's a sucker, ain't it, Lord? Well, you know what a sucker does? Take, 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 take. Drain. They just take and take and take. That's what a sucker does. They suck you dry. Well, I don't allow too many suckers in my life in the natural. I like to be an inputter. You know, and if I got somebody, you know, that's a sucker all the time, it can hinder my walk with the Lord. Now, that don't mean they're bad people. We don't wrestle flesh and blood, but against principle. We done read that. We went over that. You know, walking with the Lord is real simple. It's real simple. I told those young guys that some of them went through the recovery program at Redeemed, and they've graduated, and they're doing this on their own, and I'm feeling led to go down there. I'm feeling led. So I told them, you know, they're facing a lot of challenges, and a lot of the flesh has not been changed yet, trying to get them to go back to the old life. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm there, you know, and I told them yesterday, I'm not just telling you a story. This is the way it is with me. I told him, I said, the Apostle Paul says, as you have received Jesus, walk in him. I said, was it hard when you received him? No, man, I just surrendered. I said, that's all you got to keep doing. That's it. I said, the easiest thing that we will ever do is make it up our mind that we're going to serve the Lord. I said, now the challenges in the natural realm is where it starts, the hardship. I said, it's not in our love for God. It's in the trials. It's in all of these things. I said, but the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I said, what that means is I said, Jesus Christ, that was not his last name. Christ was not his last name. I said, Christ means the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing. I said, and the Bible says that greater is he that is in you. I said, now the Christ is living on the inside of me and you, the anointing and his anointing. And they're like, wow, wow. I said, yeah, wow. See, they're walking with the Lord. Living for God consists of walking with him. There was this deacon when I was going to church, and I think he was an elder or deacon one. But just about every other service, so at least once a month or whatever, he'd stand up and he'd say, He said, just live for him and he'll use you. Just live for him and he'll use you. And I'd leave and I'd think, what's he talking about? Live for him. How do I live for him? You know, and I'd go out and I'd say, God, I'm trying my best to live for you, God. I'm trying my best. And you know, and all of a sudden, God spoke to me and he said, you are doing everything you know to do. That's all you need to do. In other words, all I was doing was going to church. I wasn't punching nobody's teeth out, and I wasn't cussing them out. I wasn't quitting my job anymore. I was trying not to get angry. It, you know, I mean, just the little bitty simple things that we think that's walking with the Lord. You know, just like Monty brought up, you know, I mean, I used to call Teresa around people my old lady until I got born again and I realized that she was a child of the Most High God. I realized that she was a king and a priest according to the Bible. I realized that she was the apple of God's eye. And I have not one time in 26 years called her my old lady. Every time somebody says, "Where's your old lady?" I tell them she died. They're like, "Oh God, man, we didn't even know about it. When did you bury her?" And then I tell them, "No, not that kind of dead. We got saved, and now she become my helpmate." That's what the Bible calls her. She's my helper. She's my helpmate. She's my companion. You know, and so I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit by calling her my old lady. I'm not going to do it. That's a demotion. See, in the Lord, as we walk with the Lord, He will deal with us about how we talk. He will deal with us. I told those young guys down there, because I want them to know right off of the bat, man, I don't want them to have to waste another 5 years and not. I told them, I said, "Listen, guys," I said, "the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ." I said, "You got to renew your mind to this Bible right here and pray and fast and seek the God that you've given your heart to, and He will reveal Himself to you." I said, "Watch what you say over yourself. What does the Bible say about you?" "Well, we're just sinners." And I said, "No, you're not sinners." I said, "If you're born again, you ain't a sinner." I said, there is a saying out there that's popular in some churches. I said, "But it's not biblical. We're just old sinners saved by grace." No, we are not old sinners saved by grace. We were sinners. We got saved by grace. Now we are new creations. See, get it right. That old man died. If he's still alive part-time, Johnny, I'm going to fail. I'm going to go back. I'm going, because he's still alive. Well, you just, now, you know, we're going to have to sin every day. You know, we're going to, you hear that? Don't have that concept. If I do sin, I just repent. Right? But I'm working toward never sinning. Ever. And when I do slip up once a year, right? Come on, somebody. I'm living by faith. I'm not there yet. I'm not saying I've made it yet. But I'm not going to get that mindset that keeps me bound to sinning every now and then. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have that in my thinking. You don't need to have that in your thinking. Give me that Deuteronomy, Beth. It's Travis up here. He's not supposed to be up there. So I called him Beth. He's a cute Beth, ain't he? Look what he told them here. He said, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people." Special means set apart. The word special there means set apart. He said, and I've heard people say, "Well, I decided to go to the Lord." No, you didn't decide to go to the Lord. The Lord decided to choose you and pick you out and call you into Him. No man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. God picked us. God now, God handpicked us, Mac. Yes, we didn't choose God. He chose us. He chose us. He said, "For thou art a set apart people." Me and you has been, we're born again, we're set apart. He said, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God had chosen thee to be a set apart people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Man, we're blessed. I mean, we're blessed. We're empowered. I mean, we got to really get our mind, let the Lord put it in our spirit, you know, that we've been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed from sickness and disease. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from oppression. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Set apart. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, say he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Do you believe he loves you? He loves you. He loves me. That's why he, I mean, he knows I enjoy those plums, Johnny, and he knows I'm robbing myself by not pruning them. I'm absolutely robbing myself of letting that fruit get bigger and better and juicier. I might let y'all have a couple of green plums. Let's do see what I'm talking about. I doubt it. I put them things in the freezer, Mac, and I keep them till January if it's possible. Not freezer, but refrigerator. And that's the way the Lord, I mean, you know, just like I bring up the story, and I told these guys, you know, they were talking about Pharaoh, not Pharaoh, last time they were they were talking about Joseph, you know, and they wrestled with the angel, Jacob, talking about Jacob, and they said, well, I don't reckon, the Bible asks, what do you wrestle with God about? I mean, their book. And all of them's like, well, I don't wrestle with God. You know, I don't think I wrestle anything with God. And the Lord said, what about tithing? And I said, uh-oh. So I sat there and I said, well, you know, I said, kind of like if, you know, God, say I go to church tomorrow and I don't tithe. You know, I said, and God wants me to tithe, you know, and I hear the word on tithing or something. I said, and I just say, I said, you know, that could be wrestling with the Lord. He said, well, God, maybe I do wrestle with the Lord then. I said, I was just making an example, man. I mean, you know, now Jacob I'm not moving here till you bless me. Now, Jacob wasn't leaving. He's wrestling around there, you know. I mean, he's after God. He's going after God. He wants God to bless him. And so, you know, I said, or, you know, I said, just like, you know, now we're talking about walking with the Lord this morning. See, you may not have a problem with anger, but I did. And God's going to walk me down a path, and he's going to reveal his word to me. Be angry and sin not. He's going to bring me knowledge of the Bible. He's going to bring it to me one way or the other. He's going to get it to me. And then I'm going to be walking down this path, and then here comes the pruning tree, the pruning scissors, so to speak, in my life. And he's going to bring me into an opportunity to not get angry. And see what he's doing is, see, that anger, or whatever yours is, that anger for me is in the path. It's in my path where the word can't be a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And so God is wanting me to move anger. He's already whipped it. Jesus took it all at Calvary. And he gave us his spirit. He said, come learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your weary souls. He said, you that are labor and heavy burden, take my yoke on you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. Learn how I do. Learn how what I would do. Well, see, what he does is he takes us down this path, and he begins to get things out of the pathway that we're walking on, you know, so that we can clearly see where we're. I can clearly see how that when I submitted to the Word of God, I do not hate anybody on this planet. Have it in years, and because of that, it is very hard to make me mad. Now I might get stern with people. You try to poke false doctrine down my throat, get me to believe something contrary to that Bible, I'm going to stand right up and tell you that's it. Me and you, I told somebody one time, I said, me and you can be friends, but we ain't talking about the Bible. I said, because you don't believe like I do. You don't believe that Bible, and me and you don't agree. So therefore, me and you can be friends, but we ain't going to be communion. Not going to happen. Why? Because the Jesus said, if you continue in my word, if you stay with my word, if you keep my word, if you embrace my word, then shall you be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. So, if something comes to try to hinder my walk with God, somebody comes, they told me when they was hooking the internet up in 2008, they said, you know, you can't teach Malachi 3 tithing to that church. It's under the law. I said, well, buddy, I said, you're about 13 years too late to try to convince me of that. I said, I studied it. It wasn't under the law. I said, tithing was before the law. I said, there was no law. I said, and even if it was under the law, I didn't start doing it under the law. I started doing it because I love Jesus. See, I can do Malachi 3 even if it's under the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Jesus didn't come to do away with them. If I love people, I can't murder them. If I walk in love, see what I'm saying? None of this is a law. Every one of us are here voluntarily this morning at this church. You made up your mind, I am going to serve the Lord today. I'm going to church. That's part of our walking with the Lord. And then the Lord says, okay, I set a table before you, and the Lord is your shepherd now. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. I went, you know, and I took steps, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, according to your word, I'm supposed to be living life till it's full, until it's overflowing in my life, you know, and all of that stuff. And I'm coming to this church, and this church ain't paying me nothing. When I'm believing this stuff. And I'm thinking, well, maybe, well, if the church would gear up and get some money coming on in here, then I could get me a salary and that can happen. And God's like, well, you're going to have to go another couple of years because you still ain't got it. You ain't going to get no money from that church. They're not paying you. You don't believe my word yet. Well, I'm putting my trust in the church to make sure that everything going to happen like the Bible says. Y'all ain't made me rich yet, none of y'all. But God, the Lord's made me rich. But see, what the Lord is doing in our life, he's taking us down this road to where our heart just trusts him and him alone for our marriages, Johnny, for our well-being, for our ministries, for our comfort, our strength, to where we rely on him day in and day out. And that is a place of freedom and liberty, to know that God loves you. He loves me. I know that he loves me. Now, used to when somebody tell me, yeah, God loves you like he loves Jesus, I'm like, nah, man, Jesus was his favorite son, his only son. There's no way. And then I read it in the Bible. Yeah, I read it in there that he loves me just like he loved Jesus. And I read that, I'm like, whoa, he really does. He loves me. Just like he, and then it dawned on me, I thought, man, why can't I think straight? He gave him his life for me. He gave his son for me. That proves how much he loved me. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. He first loved us. So here he told him, he says, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his word to 1,000 generations. I'm not going to turn loose that word, Johnny. I'm not going to turn loose of Jesus. I don't care if this world can get turned upside down and call evil good and good evil, and every church around can get that doctrine and false doctrine in their book of God, and I'm not taking it out of my heart and changing from this Bible. That's where my foundation, after I got born again, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and we build on that cornerstone through the Word of God. We build a solid foundation for eternal things, for eternal salvation. There, people saying today that, you know, good people go to heaven. They've said it a little bit here and there. But, I mean, there's many ways to God. I'm telling you, from this church right here and from that Bible that I've got, there ain't but one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. It's not through good works, and every path don't lead to God. There's path that leads to destruction. And the Bible says many there be that go in that path. Many. You know, heaven, hell wasn't even created for people. But Isaiah said it had to enlarge itself. And people have said for years, you know, because they don't, you know, understand the Bible and all that, that's why we have churches. That's why we have ministries. That's why we have the fivefold ministry to bring the word and preach the word. How can they hear without a preacher? That still ain't changed. People say, well, you know, I can hear from God myself. I'm not saying you can't hear from God, but there's some things, the way God has his system set up, you will not get it that way. You will not get it without getting in the place that God wants you, hooking up like Elijah and Elisha, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Paul and all of those that he sent out two by twos. The only reason that they walked in that power is the Holy Spirit told them in the book of Acts. And they went and did as the Holy Spirit said. And the God working with them, showing signs, wonders, and miracles. Not them working and saying, God, this is what I want. Just put it on me. If it was left up to me, I would be over yonder somewhere in a big, brand new building that ain't got no dirty ceiling tile, that ain't fell through and, you know, nearly got me killed. You know, I wouldn't be down here in one red light town. But the Holy Spirit told me. And now, all of these years later, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I am one, happy, satisfied, blessed, strong in the Lord. Yeah, because I follow the Lord. I'm walking with the Lord in my calling right here, right now today. There's nothing else that I'm supposed to be doing other than standing right here telling you, as you walk with the Lord, he's taking you into higher things. I told them young guys, I said, you know, God told me as a young convert like y'all guys, I said, he told me if I would serve him, that he would bring me to the place to where I want nothing. And they're like, wow, that would be nice. I said, no, I'm here. I said, I'm telling you, God is telling you. He's no respecter. I said, whatever he'll do for one on this planet, he'll do it for 1 million on this planet or 2 million on this planet. I said, he gives us these examples so that we can see very clearly that he will do what he says in his Bible. I said, y'all guys, if you will walk with the Lord, simply walk with the Lord, hang in there. I said, stay in a right spirit in your trials and when you go to court and over your fines and all of that, keep your trust in the Lord. I said, the Lord will bring you out. See, I can confidently sit there and tell them. Now, I can't go and change their diaper at home for them. I can't go, oh, you poor thing, just go lay down. You know, it's okay. We know you're supposed to be. I can't go home with them. But I can meet with them every Saturday, but God, and tell them, hang in there, guy. God got him a truck. I'm going to ask that other dude next Saturday, has your truck come yet? He's going to say, if he says, well, I didn't believe for it. Why didn't you? What happened? What happened to you, man? You heard the word. You heard him get his truck. See, I mean, you know, we gotta do this thing in the wide open. In the this guy walks over, one guy walks over, he leans up on the table. These people can't help it. These boys are anointed. I mean, these boys are anointed. They stir me up, man. When I sit down at that table and them guys gathers there, he starts coming up on the inside of me, out of my spirit. I mean, I told them, I said, y'all guys, I said, I'm sorry I've been doing so much talking. I said, but I'm telling you, y'all have an anointing at this table. And when I sat down here, I said, I don't want to leave here. I said, and I'm in a hurry to get down here. And he said, well, you're supposed to be here. I said, well, maybe so. But you know what? Why am I doing that? I'm not trying to boast them up. I'm trying to get them to know that the God that you are walking with can do more than what you've experienced in your failing life before now. He wants to do extraordinary things in your life, but you got to let him. We got to let him. And that's what I was reading a little bit of this, and he told him, he said, I want you to, I'm going to write these words upon the tables of your heart. He said, I want you to talk about them when you sit down. Talk about them when you get up. I want to teach them to your kids. And then he went on and told them why. He said, so that when you can use them when you get over to the land that I promised you. See, now I'm somewhat at the promised land that God that I've had vision for years, that I wouldn't turn loose of. My jobs failed me, finances failed me, people failed me. I mean, discouragement, you know, things not working out, things coming against me and us. And that, all of y'all were like what I'm saying. Sickness and disease. I ain't going to tolerate it in my body. I told them yesterday, I walked up to Johnny yesterday. I said, Johnny, I said, the Lord said he would drive sickness completely away from us. He said, that's awesome. Well, you know what I'm going about doing? I sat down at the table dinner. I'm telling it. I'm hanging on to it. I'm saying it. So I was sitting at that table. I said, did y'all guys know that God said that he would drive sickness completely away from you? That's awesome. I said, yeah. I said, the Bible says that healing is the children's bread. Y'all just need to eat plenty of it. You're thinking, eat healing? Eat healing? Yeah. How do you eat healing? You say it. You think it. You meditate on it. You confess it out of your mouth. I'm telling the Lord, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I should have died with a heart attack. I should have died. I should be weak and all of that. But you drove sickness far from me. That's why the doctors, they say, well, you know, you got heart disease. Now, I'm thinking, nah, I don't got no heart disease either. I had a stopped up artery and you cleaned it out. Now I'm fine, right? That's not a disease. That was cholesterol where I've been eating pork and pig and all things I want to eat and just clinging to me in there, clinging. That's not a disease. Right? I'm not going to lay hold of that. I'm not. Because before you know it, they'll say, well, we think you got congestive heart failure now. No, you ain't thinking nothing. I'm the healed of God. If God be for me, who can be against me? Now what am I doing? I'm hanging on to that word. I'm over here in victory land, and I'm not going to lose it. I'm not losing ground. I'm not going, you don't have to lose ground. You don't have to be sick and weak. You just got to watch what you hook yourself to, hook up to, listen to. Come down here to Bluntsville. The Lord spoke to me in the business when me and my brother were parked. We was at Locust Fork down there, and his trailer had an office. He had an office. Lord spoke to him, and he said, I want you to go to Bluntsville. And so I told my brother, I said, the Lord wants us to go to Bluntsville and start the business down Bluntsville. Well, we're up at a lost man, wealthy, pretty well off, lost man, good businessman, knows how to make money, left his family well off when he left here, but he's lost. And I had read the scripture where it says, sit not in the counsel of the ungodly. I believe that's Psalms 1, maybe Psalms 3, something like that. We're in his presence. Now, I'm not thinking nothing about it. And so this guy says, well, where y'all off? I said, well, we're going to Bluntsville. We're going to go to Bluntsville, and we're going to open up down there. And, And he listened to us out, and he said, you can't go down there to Bluntsville. He said, there ain't nothing down there in Bluntsville but one red light. He said, you need to go to a big city, you know, where you've got people going by all the time, you know, and you're seeing your business. You can't start a business down in Bluntsville like that, you know. And I didn't say nothing, but I left, and I thought, who is he? God told me to go to Bluntsville. And we got in the truck, and my brother, he's right about that. I said, yeah, he's right. There ain't but one red light. He's right. He's right, you know, there's a lot more people in a bigger city. He's right about that. I said, but who are we going to listen to, him or God? I said, who knows best, him or God? I said, and the Bible says for me to sit not in the counsel of the ungodly. I said, that lost man, I loved him. I won't tell you who he is. I loved him. I mean, I wouldn't talk bad on him at all. He was a very, very good man that helped a lot of people. But he still ain't got no counsel for me or you. And so he said, well, in light of what you just said, I said, I'm going to listen to God rather than somebody lost. I said, the Bible says don't to yoke up with an unbeliever. I said, if we listen to him, we just yoked up with his wisdom. I said, now I understand that down in Bluntsville there ain't, but you know what? We came right down here and we rented a building. Bless God, and it wasn't too long. I started having desires to own a building. I was wasting, and then the Lord hooked us up, and we bought this building right here. And yeah, out of that building and the end of this building, that business was grossing over $500,000 and growing right here. And you know what? I thought, I'm glad I didn't listen to him. I'm glad I didn't. And you know what? I didn't know. See, we got to make sure we don't do what the Bible, don't yoke up with them. That's why I preached like I did the other night to the youth, to some of the youth and the young, you know. You don't hook up with them that's not Christians in school. You don't need that clique. They don't have the same thinking. They don't serve the same God. They serve another God. People that are not right with Jesus serve another God. Now, I'm not trying to make them feel bad, I mean, or judge them or all of that, but you know what? I'm not going to yield to that spirit. I just become carnal and worldly. Worldly thinking. And therefore lose the anointing and the power of God. Give me that Psalm, Beth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That right there, I was sitting at a funeral. And I heard this at funerals. I used to go to funerals. I knew that I was going to have to do funerals. So I'd find out funerals going on, and I'd just go. I didn't know who was in there, who's dead or nothing, you know. I thought, hell, I might as well go get used to what God's called me to do, you know. So everybody be like, who are you, cousins? Y'all cousins? And nah, man, I'm just here, you know, checking it out. All that. I was hoping that somebody would say nothing. They thought, we've never seen you before. Yeah, no, you hadn't. I mainly went to Coleman up there, that big funeral home up in Coleman, you know. And I'd go in there, you know. But Every time I would go, they used this. And nothing wrong with that. They're laying in green pastures now. They're laying beside the still waters, friend. You know, and I'm sitting there one day, and the Lord said, that's not for funerals only. He said, I'm your shepherd, you shall not want. He said, that's not after you die. And so I had a revelation sitting there that scripture wasn't for funerals. So I left there, man, and I started meditating on that. He makes me lie down in green pasture. Man, I mean, I'm talking about I eat good spiritually. He don't put me in dry spiritual pastures, man. He's hooked me up with some of the most anointed people on this planet to sit under and submit under, not having to go to their church and hear the word of God. They told me that women preachers shouldn't preach. And God immediately had me to turn the radio on, and a woman started preaching to me on the radio. I'd never sat under a woman preacher. I started listening to this woman preach, and she had such an anointing on her life. For the first year of my young spiritual life, she changed my life with the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from then on, I went to find it in the Bible. I thought, I got to find out if women are anointed in the Bible. I didn't go to my church and ask them. I went to the Bible. I went to the Bible, and I started finding out all the way from the Old Testament down to where Jesus sent a woman to tell Peter. A message from a woman to the disciples where he's going to meet them. And so I settled it in my heart right then. I said, God, I even found in the Bible that God preached through a donkey. That donkey preached, man. I'm like, good God, man. If he can use a donkey, surely to God he can use a woman. Well, because of what I'm saying, I'm not attacking people that believe different than that. But I went to the Bible because I wanted to know the truth. I'd done read in there where Jesus said, if you continue in my word, if you'll stay in my word, if you'll stick with my word, you'll be my disciples, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you. I found out the truth that all of us are supposed to be healed. I found out the truth that all of us are supposed to be well off. I found out the truth that we're supposed to be blessed beyond what we think or ask. I started finding these things out, and I had preachers to tell me, well, God said he supplied all your needs. I told one, I said, I need a pontoon. Well, if I want to go to the water, what do I need? A boat or something, right? He said, well, God's talking about your needs. I said, what's a need? I said, I get the spirit of what you're saying, man. I said, but what are you saying to me? What are you saying need? I said, I just told you I need a pontoon. I want to go out on the water with my family. He didn't, couldn't answer me. Had a guy one time went to a meeting. I'm doing all I can do to die to this flesh, man. I'm trying to kill it, you know. Because I heard him every time he'd stand up. We got to die the flesh, die the flesh. You know, and I'm like, well, how do I kill this man? How do I kill him? I mean, I would like to kill him. You know, he's messing me up. He's giving me a hard time here. You know, I'm still struggling with this flesh man. Well, we're in a meeting one day, and I got sick of hearing that. I really got tired of hearing that deacon say that. So it's just the church meeting. It wasn't really, it wasn't a church. It's where all the business took care of. We took care of business, and where the church didn't have no schism and stuff, kind of like here, you know, it's a good thing. But he says, well, you know, we got to die of the flesh. We got to die to the flesh. I said, well, let me ask you something there, man. How do you do it? I said, tell me how. I said, I've been trying. I said, well, don't you just tell me how, since you're telling me you got to do it. I don't know how to do it. I'm just a young convert. He couldn't answer me. He couldn't. He couldn't really honestly give me an answer to what he was spitting out of his mouth. And so I thought, I'll find out myself. You know what I done? Went to the Bible. It says, mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. Mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. So when I went back, I told him, I said, I found out how you do it, man. Tell me how. I've been trying to die too. I said, the Bible says do it through the Spirit. Let the Spirit help us. Let the Spirit quicken us. Yield to the Holy Spirit and let him help us and comfort us and help us do it. I said, that's how you do it. Well, I've been dying out the flesh for 28 years, still dying out. Walking with the Lord, your flesh man's going to automatically die. He says, love your wives, Christ, who love the church. And you're like, oh, Do unto others as you would have them to do in you. I had a preacher tell me one time, I quoted that scripture, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He said, nah, man. He said, I know what Paul's talking about. He said, but you got some people, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, man. You got to get them before they get you. Well, you know what? I won and he didn't. I did it and he didn't. I decided I'm going to treat people like I would want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, and when I started doing that, then I won, and that guy's still over there, people taking advantage of him. Now I got sinners, they tell me, I got people at work, they tell me, well, we don't like you, you're too high, but we're going to use you. That don't make no sense, does it, Mac? No. If you go to Dollar General eggs, $4 and they're $3.50 at Lucky's, you ain't going to use them unless you're anointed. You're gonna go to Lucky's and save 50 cents. But if you're anointed and God says, buy them eggs, you're like, Lucky's has cheaper eggs, but something about these eggs. Well, there's anointing over there at Dollar General. Well, I'm not talking about Dollar General now. I'm just making a point here. You had a guy call me yesterday and he says, I got two doors I need you to put in, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah. He said, how much you get? And I said, $500 a piece. He said, ooh, that's a little high, ain't it? I said, yeah, it took me 28 years to get to you. I said, it took me 28 years to get to you of getting all this good insurance and this experience, putting your doors in and doing them right. Oh, yeah, it ain't no problem. I thought I didn't think it was going to be one. I said, we'll do it. I said, we'll do them Monday or Tuesday. We'll get to you. Monday or Tuesday. Well, you know how long it's going to take me? It's going to take me about an hour. It's going to take me longer to get there and back than it is to hang the doors. Well, it's just because you own your own business. Now you're missing the whole spirit of it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. You can be on a fixed income and stay there. Or you can take and say, I'm not going to be fixed no more. I'm going to yield myself to God. I'm going to kill this fear. I'm going to kill all of this doubt and unbelief. But God, I know I'm on a fixed income. Pray God. How many of those people on salaries on a fixed income? I'm on one fixed. I got to bleed big to get one. I'm not going to fix myself depending on garage doors. No, sir, I'm depending on the blessing. Now, however it wants to come, if y'all guys just zap one day and you just got all kind of money and God said, give Scotty $30,000, don't you ever disobey him. You disobey him any other time than that one. You say, yes, Lord, let me do it right now before I procrastinate. Because don't hold my blessing. Now, I'm being funny, but. I've had people to do it before believing God. I'm going to close with this. See, walking with the Lord is a glorious walk. If you keep faith, keep faith in God and don't let things distract you. See, faith to a Christian is like a wrench to a mechanic. A mechanic without wrenches, he ain't going to fix your car, man. What are you going to use, your teeth? No, he buys good tools. You got plenty of tools. Gets the right tools. That's the way faith is to a Christian. That's how necessary it is. The wrench gets the motor fixed or the car fixed. The faith gets the mountains moved and your healing and your strength and your joy and your peace staying motivating you. So I declare today, you're healed. I got one more, and I apologize if you think I'm lying. I got to tell this. Praise God. If you think I'm lying, well, I just repent before God right now. Now you lose. I go, and they tell me that my neck is stopped up again. 3.5 years later, whatever, he believes it stopped up again. My main doctor. And so he says, well, I need to do a CAT scan right and send you on to UAB. And I said, well, let's just do a CAT scan. You know, he said, well, that's fine. So we go do a CAT scan, and I'm believing God, you know. And I'm like, I'm believing for a good report. My neck ain't stopped up. And then I had somebody to tell me, well, if it is, you're going to go on or you're going to live by faith. I said, no, if it is. I said, I don't even want to talk about this. I said, now, because I done took my stance here. I said, but I'm going to help your emotions. I said, if it was to be, which it's not, stopped up. I said, sure, I'm going to go get them, let them take one out of my leg, slap me one around my ear in there, do something. I said, so I'm just trying to help your emotions. I said, but I don't like you putting pressure on me to say anything other than what I done took a stand on. And so, I go on. He said, well, we just need you to go to UAB. And I said, okay. And I said, thank you, Lord, between now and UAB, between now and that, Lord, I'm believing for a good report, Lord. Not one that I gotta have surgery. I'm looking for a good report, Lord. By Jesus Christ, this is what fighting the good fight is. Not you get the report and you just live by that and you just settle with that. I mean, they say statistically that me and Teresa wouldn't stay married. We're 38 years nearly. Statistics don't mean nothing to me when it comes to that Bible's contrary to the statistics. Well, you know what happened, man? I go down there, but God, and I go in there, and I go with confidence in the Lord. They go in there, and they do that the same thing that they done up here. They did it down there, put that, you know, see, and all of that. That little young doctor brought me and my witness in there. Teresa was with me, brought me and my witness in there, and we sat there before the one that's fixing to give us the report. And he says, see, this one right here is before you had surgery. He said, this one right here is after you had surgery. Had them side by side. Stopped up, cleared up. And then he put another, he said, this one is right now. He said, this one looks identical to the one after you had surgery. It ain't closed up a lick. Now, you know what? It might have been closed up in Coleman. But between Coleman and UAB, I'm done with surgeries. So I'm going to believe for a good report. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. Well, what if you die? I'll die believing. Right? No other way better to die than believing God. And so I left there and I thought, glory to God. I knew it was going to work. Lord, hallelujah. I can go eat me some more pig now. It ain't put none in me. But God, I'm going to eat Sunday morning breakfast. I fry sausage and bacon and grease. I drip it on my biscuit sometimes. Ooh, yeah. Teresa don't like it. She's going to dump it down there, but I want that bacon grease. Woo, hallelujah. I don't recommend you doing that. Just eat healthy, praise God. I'm talking about me. I'm going to eat every now and then. Hallelujah, praise God. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And, Lord, we glorify you and thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're